Well, this morning's sermon text will come from the Gospel of Luke. I'll be reading Luke chapter 8, verses 1 through 15. Kind of a fairly well-known parable of Jesus, the parable of the sower. Maybe not quite as popular as the Good Samaritan or the Prodigal Son, but hey, it's in the top 10 parables of Jesus or something like that. So, a great parable that's talking about how to listen to God. I think something that all of us wrestle with a little bit. So if you got your Bibles with you and you want to follow along, we'll read Luke chapter 8, verses 1 through 15. If you don't have your Bibles or you just want to listen, you're more than welcome to. We'll have it up on the screen for you as well. Let's pray and then listen to the Lord as he speaks to us in Luke chapter 8. Father in heaven, we pray that you would give us ears to hear what you would say to us. Remind us, Lord, that hearing and listening are not the same thing. And even going a step further, listening and obedience are not the same thing. So give us hearts this morning to not only hear, but to listen and obey. We pray in Christ's name. Amen. Reads in Luke chapter 8. After this, Jesus traveled about from one town and village to another, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom of God. The 12 were with him, and also some women who had been cured of evil spirits and diseases. Mary called Magdalene, from whom 7 demons had come out. Joanna, the wife of Chuza, the manager of Herod's household, Susanna, and many others. These women were helping to support them out of their own means. While a large crowd was gathering and people were coming to Jesus from town after town, he told them this parable. It says, a farmer went out to sow his seed. And as he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path. It was trampled on, and the birds ate it up. Some fell on the rock, and when it came up, the plants withered because they had no moisture. Other seed fell among the thorns, which grew up with it and choked the plants. Still other seed fell on a good soil. It came up and yielded a crop 100 times more than was sown. When he said this, he called out, whoever has ears to hear, let them hear. His disciples asked him what this parable meant. He said, the knowledge of the secrets of the kingdom of God have been given to you, but to others I speak in parables, so that those seeing they may not see, and though hearing they may not understand. This is the meaning of the parable. The seed is the word of God. Those along the path are the ones who hear, and then the devil comes and takes away the word from their hearts, so that they might not believe and be saved. Those on the rock are the ones who receive the word with joy when they hear it, but they have no root. They believe for a while, but in the time of testing, they fall away. The seed that fell among the thorns stands for those who hear, but as they go on their way, they are choked by life's worries, riches, and pleasures, and they do not mature. But the seed on the good soil stands for those with a noble and good heart, who hear the word, retain it, and by persevering, produce a crop. Amen. Well, anyone ever out there hear the phrase, you just aren't listening? You aren't listening. Hear it from your little kids. You just aren't listening. Hear it from your spouse. You're just not listening to me. Hear it from a coworker. You just aren't listening. I'm sure most all of you in the room have heard that phrase at some point, right? Some of you probably said it. Hey, you're not listening. You know the feeling of what it's like to not be heard. More than that, you might even know the feeling of what it's like to try to listen to somebody and you're trying to understand them. And just for whatever reason, you cannot figure out what on earth they're talking about. You are not listening to me. We have to deal with something, Redeemer. As human beings, we have this crazy ability to physically hear something and yet not listen to it. Did you know that? Like, we can audibly hear something, we can even repeat it back, and yet for some reason, it has not sunk in. Many of us know this all too well. You are not listening. Man, the Holy Spirit had a plan, and then everything got messed up. This sermon was supposed to be given last week, and it would have been perfect last week, because the debate was that, did anybody see that Yanni versus Laurel debate of which one you heard and everything? Would have been a fantastic sermon illustration to say, you're not listening. What are you listening to? But unfortunately, that lasted for only like 3 days, and now it's out of style now. So I have to go with a good old favorite. I love that TV show, The Simpsons. Who loves the TV show, The Simpsons? If you don't, please leave right now. No, I'm just joking with that. But here's a classic. This is one of my favorites of The Simpsons. You aren't listening, right? One of my favorites. This is from an episode that I love where Homer Simpson, the dad, is sitting on the couch watching TV, and his wife and daughter, Marge and Lisa, leave the house. As they leave the house, Marge turns back and says, "Now remember, you need to pick up our son Bart from soccer practice." And Homer responds, "I'm on my way." But he doesn't look at Marge, doesn't make eye contact or anything, just responds, "I'm on my way." And so Marge and Lisa leave, thinking Homer heard them. But what happens, as you see in the next scene, is he was watching Wheel of Fortune. And the answer to the puzzle was, "I'm on my way." And so he shouted that out loud and neglects to pick up his son, Bart. And then if you've watched the episode, it's kind of a funny one, because then Bart goes to join Big Brothers Big Sisters to get a better dad. And then Homer, in jealousy, joins Big Brothers Big Sisters to get a better son. And they kind of fight the whole episode of who's got the best father and son. You aren't listening. You're not listening. This is actually one of the biggest issues Jesus faced. He had tons of people around him, tons of people intrigued by who he was. But he was constantly fighting with them, looking them in the eye and saying, "Are you truly listening to who I am? Or are you just interested in hearing what you want to hear?" He had this all the time. He'd get huge crowds and he would give the teaching. And it doesn't say this in the Bible, but you can almost picture it. You can almost picture that guy in the back of the crowd that shows up a little late and he misses the sermons. And he's like, "Hey, is Jesus still doing the healings now, or did I miss that portion?" It's like, "Oh, I think it's still coming up later." It's, "Oh, okay, let me go get some ice cream and then I'll come back when the healings take place." You get this sense that people were just interested in what they wanted. And Jesus is shouting out the whole time, "Listen to who I am." And as a result of that, Jesus in three different Gospels tells a parable. It's called the parable of the sower. It's called the parable of the sower, but it really should be called the parable of the soils, because it's about which type of dirt listens. And I'll give you a hint. You're all the dirt. You got to figure out which type of dirt are you. And as he tells this story, he's going to let people know that there's a group of people out there, soils, that receive the word. They hear it, and yet they don't hear it. And just going to challenge us to say, are there things that are getting in the way of our hearing? Are there temptations that cause us to no longer want to hear? Or are we being faithful and we're listening to all that Jesus has told us and we're responding accordingly? So Jesus told this parable. It's a parable about listening. You aren't listening. Of course, he told it back in the day, but you know what? It's the same thing. Today, nowadays, how many of us walk into our church services? We have an agenda. Just like Homer Simpson, we know exactly which key churchy phrases to say. But when God truly speaks to us, are we listening or not? Let's go through this parable. Jesus lists the four soils, the four different listening types. And ask yourself this morning, are you listening to what God has? All right? So keep your Bibles open. We'll just go through this together. I needed the help of PowerPoint to survive today, but we'll get through this today. Parable of the soils, these different types of people that listen. We're going to go through each soil one by one, spend a short amount of time on each one, and then pray and go home at this point. But I do want to take a moment just at the very beginning to clarify something, is that some people jump into this parable, and I think they miss two things right off the bat, and I wanted to say that these right off the bat, so as you're reading and praying about which soil you are, you can let these sink in. The first is, this is about hearing and listening to the word. All right, this is not about doing anything. Now, I want to be careful how I say that, because certainly when you hear God, hopefully you respond in obedience. But you ever meet that person that feels guilty and immediately does like 20 Christian-type things, but they never actually listen to what God's telling them to do? So, right, it might be the type of situation where God's speaking to you and he's saying, "Evangelize, but don't worry about just like randomly knocking on your neighbor's door. Here's the person I'm calling you to reach out to." So as you're hearing this again, remind yourself that this is about how well am I listening to God. And then the second thing that kind of messed with me a little bit this week as I was praying about it is I've heard this preached several times, preached it myself, but I always heard it preached in such a way like, which one soil are you in your life, right? There's going to be four different soils. Which one soil are you? And this week, God really kind of hammered it home, is like, maybe there are different aspects of my life that are all these different soils. And there are parts of my life that are the first type and parts of my life that are the second type and parts of my life that are third type, so on and so forth. So I'll go through these one by one and just ask yourself, am I truly listening to God? Or am I finding myself stuck in this or that type of soil? So here we go. Four soils. Number one, I've got to make this abundantly clear. Most Christians misunderstand that. Begins by saying a sower went out to sow seed. Many Christians are convinced that God has not spoken. They are waiting on a word from the Lord constantly. This parable challenges you to say no. 90% of the time, let's say, dare I say 98% of the time, the problem is not that God has not spoken. The problem is that we are not listening. How many times do I pray at the beginning of a worship service, God, would you just pour out your Holy Spirit abundantly? How come none of you told me what a dumb prayer that was? God's Holy Spirit is here already. We got to ask the question, are we listening to it or not? And so 98% of the time, the problem is God is speaking, but we're not listening. So let's start right there. And God says, here's the three reasons why you're not hearing him. And then finally, the fourth of what you can to hear him. Number one, the very first type of soil, the soil that lands on the road. God says the word gets spread. And there's folks out there that the seed, it lands on this hard road, right? It doesn't have any sort of impact. It's almost like a shield, or it's almost like armor of protection that it doesn't penetrate at all whatsoever. And it says the seed, the word, sits there until the birds come and eat it up, take it away, till the devil can come and take it away. It has no impact whatsoever. And this is the first type of soil. It's people that have heard but didn't hear. In the Bible days, they would say these people have hard hearts. Nowadays, we would say they're hard-headed, right? They just haven't let it sink in. People that have physically heard it, but their hearts just were not there to hear it. This happened to me. I got to live this out, man. I had to go back to Seattle to help out both folks that had surgery. And while I was back there, they can't drive. So I took the Uber to my parents' house from the airport. And my cab driver was Muslim. And man, I didn't even want to get into this, but he just wanted to go there, so we had the Christian-Muslim debate. I can guarantee you, both of us were hard-hearted soils. Neither one of us was going to give up an inch when we debated back and forth. I was right, he was wrong, obviously, but you know how it all goes. We dealt with this. Out of hearing, but you didn't hear. I'll meet people, sometimes they get offended by this. They're like, hey, wait, how is it that people can hear but not hear? That's offensive. Why wouldn't God want us all to hear? But deep down, you know this happens. Come on, Redeemer, you know this happens all the time. Like I said, I was with my folks, and I noticed when I was with my folks, it reminded me of something. You ever notice how many times in life you have one person that can tell you something, and because of who they are, you will not listen to them whatsoever, but if somebody totally different tells you the exact same thing, you'll be like, oh, that is such a good idea. Man, my parents, if the doctor called or if the nurse called or the physical therapist had called them and said, well, Tom and Jean, you should try to do this. They'd be, oh, that's such a great idea. An hour before, me, my brother, my sister, we had said, hey, why didn't you try to do this? They were having none of it. Don't listen to the kids. Of course, that reminded me of when I was a teenager, high school, college, and when my parents could tell me something. Hey, Mark, have you ever thought about this? You were gifted in that. I was like, I'm not listening. And then one of my friends could say the exact same things. Oh, that was so brilliant. How come nobody told me that before? Deep down, we know there are people we just don't listen to. And there are times we just simply do not listen. And Jesus is talking about this first soil. They are hearing without hearing. And the same thing happens with Jesus too. Each one of these things, so it'd sink in, I picked a key word so you could help remember it. The key word, if you struggle with this one, is ignorance. What I mean when I say that is not asking you to be ignorant. But what I'm saying is that there are things in life you don't know, and you have to ask yourself is, when there are things in my life that I don't know, and I'm going to just assume that I do know it and go on blissfully unaware, or I'm going to acknowledge that I don't know it and maybe listen to God so that I do figure out what the answer is. I don't know if that made any sense whatsoever, so let me try to explain a little bit more. A psychologist can probably explain it better than me, but I'm guessing all of us get in routines and in rhythms and cycles, including with our faith, where once we get our head down and going in that direction, we simply don't listen to anything else. We're just in our mindset. We're just going, and we simply do not listen to anything else. And that's why there's value in just saying for a second, hey, God, I'm going in this direction, but if there's anything you want to show me right now, I'm all ears. I'm going to take a deep breath, I'm going to step back, and I'm going to listen and see if maybe you're trying to share something with me that I'm missing right now. Give you a couple examples. I don't know if this will make you mad or not, but I'll just give you a couple examples. I found this in worship all the time. This is a really interesting one with worship, where people would, whatever they're used to in worship, that's God-ordained biblical worship, and whatever is new, despite whatever's written in the Bible, whatever is new is not God-ordained biblical worship. So like I'll never forget running into a guy that was, he knew his Bible inside out. This was crazy. And he had visited Redeemer and said, you know, I just have such a hard time at Redeemer because, you know, there's some folks in the front rows, they're worshiping, they raise their hands up in the air. And what is that all about? I hate that so much. That's not biblical worship. And of course, if I had any hair left, I'd pull it out and scream at this guy because the Bible says multiple times, lift up your hands. Lift up your hands. All throughout the Psalms, it says this, lift up your hands. Now again, I'm not trying to guilt trip you all into lifting up your hands on the final song. You worship how you worship. I'm not after you for that. But how is it that this guy who knew his Bible inside and out completely missed these passages? Because he's the first soil. He couldn't even physically hear it if he wanted to. Until he got to the point where he said, Lord, if you're trying to teach me something, open up my heart to this and speak to me. I'll get really deep this morning. This is the moment I'm about to get fired. You all ready, Julie? You all ready to take over as soon as I get fired here? We got a major issue right now we want to pray about. You know, all of you know about it. It's the issue of immigration, right? And all of you have opinions, all sorts of different opinions on how that goes. Fine, more power to you. I'm not going to force you to be in one camp or the other or anything like that. I just want to simply point out something that a professor pointed out to me. Even though I have an opinion on immigration, there are hundreds of verses in the Bible that have to deal with how you treat the stranger and the foreigner. For those of you that have an opinion on immigration, I want to know if you can respond back to me with one of those verses. There's hundreds of them. Does any in you know one of them? If not, it's because you're the first soil. You think you know God's will, but you don't. You have these blind spots. All of us have these things. And if that's the case, we're the first soil. The key word is ignorance. So you ask yourself, how do I become unignorant? How do I do that? Well, you can't really, you could try to learn everything that ever existed ever, but I wouldn't recommend that. The much simpler way to live your life is just to admit you don't know everything. In fact, if there's a theme verse you could pray if you're the first soil, it'd be Isaiah 55 verse 8. My ways are not your ways, says the Lord. I do things differently than you do. And if you're mad that this one situation ended up that way, or if you're mad that somebody disagrees with your theology of the Bible, or if you're mad that your church is doing this or that, you can speak up. There's nothing wrong with having an opinion, but ask yourself this question. Is it possibly because God's ways are not our ways? One of my favorite New Testament speakers, all the time, I've heard him speak a few times, and each time before he starts, he says something like this. He says, I'm going to preach to you, and he says, I guarantee 20% of what I'm about to preach to you is wrong. The problem is I just don't know which 20% it is. What a great humble attitude to have as you're trying to listen to the Lord. Soil number one, you've heard it, but you didn't hear it. Soil number two, Jesus says that there are people out there that will hear the message and they're not listening, and it's because they are the rocky soil. What's wrong with the rocky soil? Well, the rocky soil falls on the rock, takes root just for a little bit, but because the soil is rocky, it will not survive the hard times. These are for all those folks who get excited about the gospel, but fall away during the hard times. What Jesus is trying to tell you is part of listening to him is doing what he says even when it's difficult. I think you know these folks. Don't you know these folks? Certainly we've run into folks that get fired up about the gospel, right? Give their life to Christ. They're excited. They come forward for the altar call. They're so filled with the Holy Spirit, they're hanging from the ceiling fans, right? They are just feeling it. Make all these big declarations. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. I'm going to do the other. And then 3 weeks later, you call them, hey, how are you doing in your faith? It's like, that was an overreaction. He says in the text, he says that there are people that are on fire and they burn out. They feel called by the Holy Spirit, and then 2 weeks later say, maybe that wasn't the Holy Spirit, maybe that was bad pizza. There are people that can do the short term, but they trick themselves with the long haul. I can guarantee you, Redeemer, this is so, if I had a dime for every person that's come up to me, every visitor that's come to Redeemer, says, I felt the Holy Spirit, I'm going to be here forever, and we have never seen them again. Man, I'd retire from Redeemer at that point. I wouldn't need to do nothing at that point. This is one we trick ourselves in. We say, I've been going to church 20, 30, 40 years. I'm not this type of soil, right? Because I'm still here, but careful. I've met some folks that they bounce from church to church. And the reason is because every 3-4 years they get bored, they get tired, or that church calls them out for some of their nonsense. And they can't stand that. So they go to the new place where they're not going to get called out. I've met people that have hung around churches that are dead. They don't want to seek God for new life. Why not? Because it's hard to obey and persevere and do something new. These folks would be in the rocky soil. I've met folks in life who repeat the same patterns over and over in life. I've met generations that have repeated the same patterns over and over in life. And if you ask why, the reason is because they're on the rocky soil when it comes time to make a very difficult decision that will lead to their salvation. They simply cannot do it. And they can't listen to God because of that. Heck, even being a multi-ethnic church, right? That's going to be, it's fun when everyone's like, oh, let's hang out and let's have a potluck together. But when we get into some of the real issues that were out there, everyone hates it. Because we can't listen to God. We don't want to listen beyond the initial thing we hear. The key word with the second type of soil is perseverance. Not only have I heard God's word, but I'm going to live it out. I'm going to fight for it. I'm going to live this in my life. Part of moving from just hearing God to listening is perseverance. I've heard it. I'm going to stick with it, even in the hard times. I heard an illustration once. I don't know if this is true or not, but it seems to sink in. I don't know how many of you know this. Christians in America are dying out, right? Which is kind of sad. But Christians around the world are growing like gangbusters. And one person I said, I don't know if this is true or not, he said, here's why this is taking place. He said, the problem is because Americans, when they go through hard times, here's what they pray. Dear God, take this problem away from me. And he said, in other parts of the world, here's what they pray. Dear God, get me through this problem. Y'all see the difference between those two? Key word is perseverance. Memorial Day is good. Talk about the rocky soil. Right? Everyone wants the benefits of what living in the United States is and everything like that. But there are generations that have come that have had to serve and to sacrifice perseverance. If you feel like you're dealing with the rocky soil in your life, the remedy for you is Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. And then, of course, I couldn't fit the rest of it on there. But in all your ways, acknowledge Him, and He will direct your paths. So even though I'm going down a road that is not easy, I'm going to trust God that You have a plan for me, and that's part of my listening. I want to continue even through the hard times. That's the rocky soil. Soil number 3. The thorny soil. God said that there's a group of people out there that will listen to the word, they will love it, they will grow roots, and they will grow up. And God says that they would be a perfectly fine and strong plant, except for the fact that there are things around them that are taking their life away. Now stay with that for just a second. God is saying that there's absolutely nothing wrong with their roots. Absolutely nothing wrong with their faith. If this plant was in a vacuum, it'd be a perfectly fine plant, but simply because of what is around it, this plant won't make it. And you won't listen to God. He says there's stuff around it that's killing it. This is the type of person that has a great, solid relationship with Jesus Christ, and then something out there that's not even against Jesus Christ, but just something in their life that distracts, pops up, and they see it. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Ooh, shiny. What's this over here? And you miss it completely with what Jesus is doing. This is the type of person that say, hey, I'm going to read my Bible tonight, and they binge watch Netflix all night, and they don't read their Bible. Is there anything wrong with Netflix? No, there's nothing wrong with Netflix. Of course not. But it gets in the way of who Jesus is. This is the type of person that works really hard at their job, does great work, does pride, takes pride in who they are as a worker. Anything wrong with working hard? Nothing wrong with working hard. But if it gets in the way of your faith, starts to become your identity rather than you are a child of Jesus Christ, it's the third soil. This is a family that's dealing with their kids, and they're obsessed with making sure their kids get great grades and doing all the right activities and just having a brilliant future. Anything wrong with that? No, nothing wrong with that. But if your kid's character and who they are in Christ comes second to activities and educations, you're in the third soil department. Those that have different values and traditions, right? Nothing wrong with traditions. Nothing wrong with trying new things. Nothing wrong with having different values about things. But if these things start suffocating who Christ is calling us to be, we're in the third soil. like to point out that even good things can be distractive. See, that messed with me. I didn't figure this out until I was like in my 20s and 30s. I always grew up and people told me, hey, the choice you're going to have to make, Marcus, do you want to do drugs or do you want to read your Bible? That's not the choice you have to. I mean, sometimes that's the choice, but more often than not, it's not that. The choice is, do you want to read your Bible or do you want to study? I mean, that's going to be the choice, right? You want to be a good friend or do you want to go move to a new city? That's going to be the choice. And the good soil, the third soil, not the good soil, the bad soil says, these things distract you from that. I've said it a few times, but that's a key word. Distraction. Nothing wrong with your faith. Your faith would normally be solid, but there are just enough things around you, worries, cares, whatever. You're worried about your bank account. You're worried about how your job situation is, that all these things get in the way of who God is and what he's doing in your life. Man, I know this one firsthand. 11 years ago now. God called me to move down to Carrollton, Texas. I didn't know anybody down in Carrollton, Texas. All my family was and still is back in Seattle. And I remember as I was going through that decision in my mind, all sorts of great justifications for why it would, I just want to stay in Seattle because that's where my family is. Doesn't God care about family? Right? That's where my parents are. Doesn't God want me to be close to my family? Seattle doesn't have any Christians. Texas has you sneeze and your snot hits a church here in Texas because there's no place to go. I said, doesn't God want me to reach out to where there's no people? But at the end of the day, what's God calling you to do? And what's a distraction? What is it for you? You ever seen those Hollywood movies where like the person, they get the wrong diagnosis and they have 2 weeks to live or a month to live or something like that? What do? They realize all in their life that's a total distraction and nonsense, and they focus on what's important. If you're struggling with a third soil, that's your job too. What will truly last the test of time? If you're struggling with a third soil, the remedy is read Matthew chapter 5. The verses in there go something like this. Seek first the kingdom of God. Then again, I didn't have space for it, but you all know the rest. And all these things will be added unto you. God says, if you trust me for provision, I'm going to give you the things you need anyways. But if you're the type of person that puts those distractions first before him, you're going to miss out on everything. So when you're struggling with the thorns, God says this. Seek first my kingdom. And then see what I pour out on you and in your life. One last one, then we'll go home. Jesus closes his parable. He does say, hey, there's something out there. There's a good type of soil. This is what I want you to be. This is what I want you to have. This is the soil that receives the word. This is the soil that has a fantastic crop. This is a soil that listens well. And what makes for this good soil? Well, this is interesting. He says there's something that takes place before it receives the word and something that takes place after it receives the word. So again, it's not just a matter of receiving the word, but there's stuff you do. It says before you receive the word of God, it says that the good soil has a noble and pure heart. Do y'all see that in there? He says before you even listen to God, the good soil has a noble and pure heart. What is a noble and pure heart, you ask? Well, it's kind of vague. I would guess it's a heart that's in the right spot. I would guess it's a heart that has pure motives, right? You're wanting to listen to God because you want what he has for you rather than trying to manipulate him for some sort of answer you want. I would guess, I could be wrong, it's a heart that's willing to be transformed, right? A willing heart says, hey, if I've got this wrong, I'm willing to transform and be right. I'm guessing it's a heart that's patient. Right? A heart that says, okay, God, if it's not right now or not right yet, I'm still patient. I want to serve you. I will wait till you do what you want. Now, this is key. Because if you're feeling like you're in a season where you haven't heard from God right now, you can do one of two things. One, get mad that he hasn't spoken to you and try to manipulate him into speaking. Or two, you can say, hey, is there anything I might be missing to prepare myself to hear from God and to receive him when he speaks? That will humble you, man. I know as a pastor for me, I just have to be honest with you before the Lord. There have been so many times I look at Redeemer and I'm like, man, this is taking so long. And this church is not anywhere near where I want it to be. Why, God? Then I read about this and God's like, well, Mark, is it possible some of this stuff you're not physically ready for? Like maybe it could be that the whole church is ready for it except you as the pastor and you're the one holding this whole train back. And of course you get humbled by the Lord. It's like, how dare you say that, Lord? But then you think about it and you pray about it and you're like, holy cow, there are a lot of things I really need to work on. I'm the dead weight holding you guys back. prior to God sowing his seed, where is your heart? And is your heart ready for some of this stuff God has for you? God, I'm so hungry to get married. I want to get married. Well, is your heart in the right place? You ready for that? God, I'm ready to have kids. Okay, pray for that. Your heart in the right place for that? God, I'm ready to get the kids out of the house. Okay. But are you prepared? Is your heart in the right place for that? God, I'm ready for this responsibility. Well, okay, is your heart in the right place for that? So the first thing he says is get your heart right. And then he says this. He says the good soil, after it receives the seed, he says it does two things. It retains and it perseveres. Good soil retains the seed. If you ever want to feel guilty about your spiritual life, you can do something that's really simple. Read your devotions in the morning. Right? Read your devotions. Forget it. And then that night, without looking at your Bible, see if you can remember what you read about that morning. Anybody ever tried that before? Like, God, I know it was something. It had something to do with Jesus, I think. Was it something about Jesus and surfing, I think, was something like that? He was like, where? See if you can just remember what he told you that morning. I did this in my own prayer life. I started writing down my prayer requests, and the reason was because I noticed myself praying, and I couldn't even remember what I prayed for 3 days earlier. So, God, thank you for providing all that stuff. What did he do for me lately? I can't even remember. And then they get this list of like 25 things he's done. Like, holy cow, there's been a whole lot there. So it retains the word. It doesn't just hear it. It lets it sink in. If you don't remember what I preached on by, say, 7 o'clock tonight, you ain't in the fourth category. Or I put it this way, because I might have preached some dumb things. If you don't remember what the text was at 7 o'clock tonight, you're not in the fourth category. You're not there yet. You retain it. And then, of course, it says you persevere. You're the type of person out there who says, Lord, I screwed up today, but tomorrow's a new day. I'm going to try as best as I can. I was not very forgiving this time, Lord, but tomorrow's a new day. I'm going to try again. Father, at the last family reunion, we got into it, but you know what? There's another one coming up. I'm going to try again. I'm going to keep serving. I'm going to keep persevering because I want to be the good soil that bears lots of fruit. It's a good soil. Good listening. And then at the very bottom, if you can see it, remember, God is the one that produces the fruit. All you're called to be is the soil. You're not trying to force anything. You're not trying to make yourself into something you're not. All you're trying to ask yourself is, am I truly opening and listening to whatever God has? So, which type of listener are you? If you're like me, you're probably a little bit of each one of these things. There are aspects of my life that are completely closed off and I'm too hard-hearted. There are aspects that when it's fun and exciting, I'll be a part of it, but when it's hard, I'll bail. There are aspects of my life I get distracted. But my hope is, overall, that I would constantly seek to listen. And I hope you do the same thing. Say one last thing and then we'll go. I read the parable, but I also read the three verses before the parable, chapter 8, verses 1 through 3. And there just wasn't time for it. This would have been a whole other sermon in and of itself. But I think one of the things that Luke is trying to pour out in his gospel is he talks about there's this one group, the 12 disciples and these women. And we talked earlier about the 12 disciples being from all sorts of background. And then you read about these women that are supporting and serving Jesus, and they come from all sorts of background. And they're the ones following it. And then there's a little joke. It says in verse 4 that there's this huge crowd that wants to hear from Jesus. And what Luke is doing is playing those two off one another. It's one thing to be in the great big crowd that's just intrigued to hear from Jesus. It's a whole other thing to have your life transformed by him so much so that you will follow him wherever he goes. And that is the type of listening he is calling us to. Redeemer, are you going to be Homer Simpson or Holy Seed? Homer Simpson, out of routine, repeats patterns. Out of routine, shouts out things he doesn't mean. Out of routine, he's not listening when he should. But the holy seed, the holy soil, produces good fruit because it's listening. Might we all be holy soil. Amen. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you that long before we showed up in this room, you spoke to us. We thank you that you are still speaking to us. We confess our sin, Lord, that so often we get in the mindset of thinking you haven't spoken or you are far or you are silent, when truly it is simply our hard hearts that have not looked for you, that have not been patient, that have not been willing to die to some of the distractions and temptations in our life, that have not been willing to plow through the hard times to see you at the other side and grow in perseverance and in character and hope and endurance. So, Father, this morning, as we conclude having heard from you and heard your word, we just pray that you would till up that soil in our lives and help us hear and listen this morning, Father. Pray for each person in this room. I pray that you'd protect them from any sort of sense of, here's the 28 things I need to do to be a better Christian. And instead, I pray that you would plant that one thing in their heart that they know they need to do. And whether that's a person they know about, or forgiveness that needs to be offered, or bitterness they need to let go of, or it's that ministry they need to participate in, or simply chilling out on the Netflix for a little bit and reading their Bible, taking some time with you. Whatever it might be, Father, we just pray that you would help lead them in that direction. And I pray that when that happens and they see the fruit from that, they'd want to more and more obey and follow you in all things. Father, we thank you for the gift of our lives. We thank you for speaking to us. We know that the reason you've spoken to us is to show us how much you love us. And we know at the end of time, the end of everything, some of the distractions we're so worried about won't be there. And we know that some of the problems that got us hung up will not be there. And we know that some of the hard-heartedness we have will completely melt. And the only thing left is your love. Well, as we get to that day, as we're working for that day, Father, give us the strength and the open hearts to listen. In Christ's mighty name we pray. Amen.